So our topic now, as we said at the last time when we learned before Pesach, we're pivoting to talk about the active mitzvos, the mitzvos asay of Shabbos. So we're going to talk about candle lighting and what happens in healthcare settings. The question of where one lights. Let's say one is in the hospital. So where do you light? The use of electric candles, because as a general thing, they don't want open flames in hospitals. Strange but true. I remember when I started out in the rabbinate, you couldn't have a cell phone in a hospital. They didn't allow cell phones in hospitals, and that they got over, but not the open flame thing. They said it was messing up with the telemetry,
They say on planes also something with the phones.
Yeah. That's true, but the planes haven't gotten over it. But in any case, no open flames, not in the hospitals and not on the airplanes either. Although at one point I remember it was fine to have an open flame on an airplane. Yes, but that was okay because the smoke stayed in the no smoking section. It's only in the back of the plane. Okay, and then the other thing that we'll talk about is what happens if somebody misses lighting because of a medical situation, either their own or because they're taking care of somebody else. The truth is, it's not that long a topic. If there's time at the end, we may go through some of the other issues that the Nishmas Avraham raises, which are patient-centered as opposed to practitioner. But let's start by getting an understanding of the core mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros, of lighting Shabbos candles, because that affects how we approach all of the questions that the Nishmas Avraham is going to address. So the first and most basic point is source Aleph, it's a Gemara in Shabbos, Chaf Hei Amud Beis. If you want to learn Masech Shabbos next, you will come across this. Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Rabbi Yishmael has a comment in the Mishnah. Ein malikin be'itron. You're not supposed to use itron as a fuel for Shabbos lamps. And the reason for that is it has a foul smell. As the Gemara says, my taima, what's the issue? Amar Rava mitoch sherecho ra gezera shemayanichanu v'yetze. Rava says, because it smells bad, and since it smells bad, you might abandon the room, right? This Shabbos lamp doesn't smell good, so I'll leave. So Amar le Abaye, Abaye says to him, and once Abaye is responding, you wonder if it's really Rava or Rava, because Abaye responding to Rava would be unusual. But Abaye says, V'yetze. Okay, so if he doesn't like the smell of the candles, let him go to another room. Why is that a reason why this is no good for Shabbos candles? So Amar Lei, to which Rava or Rabba responds, Sha'ani Omer hadlakas ner b'Shabbos chova. Because I contend that having Shabbos candles is an obligation. Da Amar Rav Nachman Baruch Chisda va'amri lo Amar Rav Nachman bar Rava Amar Rav hadlakas ner b'Shabbos chova. There is an obligation. And apparently, the fact that it is an obligation doesn't just mean it's an obligation to light it and leave, but it's an obligation to light it and have it around, for you to use that for your illumination for reasons that we're going to bring. So that is going to figure into the next piece. We have to figure out why it's a chova, and that will determine what the nature of this obligation exactly is. It is certainly praised. If you take a look at source Beis, you get a Gemara also in Shabbos, Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, Amar Rav Huna, HaRagil B'ner Havion LeBanim Talmidei Chachamim. Rav Huna says, somebody who habitually, regularly has candles will have children who are Torah scholars. And it goes on to say, Hazar B'Mezuzah Zocha LeDirana. If you're careful about mezuzah, you'll have a nice house. Hazar B'Tzitzis Zocha LeTalis. No, you're careful with tzitzis, you'll have a nice garment. Hazahir b'kiddush hayom zochu mamale ger b'yayin. If you're careful with kiddush, you will merit to fill barrels and barrels of wine. So, on this haragil b'ner, one who is regular with candles, the Rishonim debate whether this means Hanukkah candles or whether that means Hanukkah and Shabbos candles. Many say it is Hanukkah and Shabbos candles, and it is teaching us the importance of it. And in fact, it is such a high priority that, as the Gemara discusses, candles for Friday night override Kiddush, and if it's Hanukkah, they override Hanukkah candles. A person who says, I can't do both, would actually prioritize Shabbos candles, and the reason is because one of the benefits of Shabbos candles, as we'll get to, is shalom bayis, peace in the household. And that's considered to be something of great significance. That's the that's the idea. The only thing it doesn't override, the Magen Avraham says, is bread. Making sure you have basic, you know, bread, because if you don't have bread, you also won't have shalom bayis. So, you know, that's the way it goes. The symbolism of the candles, people often have two candles, right? One for Zachor, one for Shamor. Some use intertwined wicks as a way to say, look, the Zachor and Shamor were said together. I don't know anybody who does that. I just read about that. I don't know anybody who actually does that. But the numbers are going to matter for one of the questions that we'll get to. Some people light seven because of the significance of the number seven. Some people will light 10 lamps because that number is significant. The Shalom mentions that. Some do according to the number of family members. So they do that. That fits with the Gemara about somebody who is careful about the candles will merit to have children who are Talmidei Chachamim. So light, you know, one per kid. But in terms of the question that Sana already anticipated of why exactly this is considered so important, there are three different ideas that are brought in the Rishonim, and all of them are expressed in the She'iltos, talking about Shabbos candles. I brought you just the She'iltos. I didn't bring you all of the different Rishonim and their positions. Take a look at Source Gimel. Man deboy lemizben shruga v'kidusha l'shabsa. If a person wants to purchase candles and kiddush, wine, for Shabbos, v'leka biyadei l'lechad minayu, but he only has enough money for one of those. Hay minayu adif. So which one comes first, right? This is what we were just talking about. Which one of them comes first? Kiddush adif, dahava l'chiyuva de'oraisa. Do I say kiddush comes first because it is a biblical obligation? Dichsiv zachor es yom ha-shabbos l'kadsho. Remember, they have Shabbos 2 consecrated, and Rebbe says, do that with wine. Granted that, we actually tend to assume that the biblical part is just saying Kiddush, and the use of wine we consider to be rabbinic, but he's saying right now, let's look at it as though the whole thing is biblical. Aval ner kavod be'almahu, whereas a candle, that is just Kavod Shabbos. That's just in honor of Shabbos. And that gives us, I underlined it, to highlight the fact that that's our first explanation for why you honor, why you light candles. It is Kavod Shabbos. O Dilma, or perhaps, Ner Adif. Maybe not. Maybe the Ner is more important than the wine. De'ileka Ner Adif, because if it's not more important, Lo Mischale, Velo Mishtatile, he's not going to end up eating. Mischel is like misachil. He won't end up eating, and he won't end up drinking. Uma'an yashabsa, and he will impoverish or cause suffering on Shabbos. Meaning, the goal of the candles is to enable oneg Shabbos, to enable enjoyment of the day. Velo havi shalom bebeise, and also he won't have shalom. That's a third aspect of this. So Rashi brings the Kavod Shabbos piece of it, that it's in honor of Shabbos. The Rambam mentions that as well in Hilcha Shabbos Perek Lamed Halacha Hey. That's the Kavod side. The Oneg side, the enjoyment of Shabbos, Tosfos mentions that. And the Rambam, in a separate comment in Hilcha Shabbos Hey Halacha Aleph, says it as well. The Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, it's both Kavod and Oneg, honor of Shabbos and enjoyment of Shabbos. And then this idea of Shalom Bayis is already seen in the Gemara when it talks about prioritizing Shabbos candles over other things. Why is it that it causes Shalom Bayis? Rashi says it's because it keeps you from tripping and falling. The Rambam mentions this aspect of Shabbos candles in Hilchos Chanukah. The Rambam mentions it in the laws of Chanukah when he's talking about which one you would do, which one you would prioritize, Chanukah candles or Shabbos candles. So there, in Perek Dalet Halacha Yudalet, the Rambam mentions it. So, going back to Dr. Block's question, so is this really about, is this a De'oraisa, is it De'rabanan? It seems to be a fulfillment of the Oraisa concepts, even though there are other ways to fulfill them. There are lots of ways in which we honor Shabbos, right? We wear nice clothing, we prepare in advance, we clean the house. Like, these are all fulfillments of Kavod Shabbos, but it's one of those.
Why did they say Zohar?
Sorry?
Why did they say Kavod instead of Zohar? So when you see the candles, you zachor that it's Shabbos.
Right. So the idea that zachor equals kavod Shabbos is not, I think, a framing found in the Gemara. That's something that the Rishonim do. They equate and say that that's so. So you're not going to see the Gemara make that kind of statement. That would be my understanding. There is a lot of discussion in the historians about why we make a bracha on this form of Kavod Shabbos over others. Right? I mean, we do lots of things, the Kavod Shabbos. Right? A person is going to go take a shower. They don't make a bracha on Rechitza in honor of Shabbos, right?
You put on a suit,
So it doesn't get a bracha. So there are, I've seen in the historians, I remember years and years and years ago, I saw an article in, I want to say, like Emuna magazine or someplace like that, where somebody had written a column claiming that the rabbis instituted Shabbos candles as an institution as a way to get at the Karaites. Because the Karaites didn't believe that you were able to light Shabbos candles because they are, because you have a fire burning and so on, and that that's why we make a bracha on them, is in order to say davka. So I was very upset at the time because I thought that was heresy, but no, it's not heresy.
And yet the punishment for a woman who doesn't light candles is mind-boggling.
Right. So it's not. I'm not sure. I mean, you're talking about the Mishnah.
Yeah, the Mishnah.
Yeah, you're talking about the Mishnah. So I'm actually going. I'm going there next.
Oh.
I'm not going to explain it, but I'm going there next. The point right now is that we have this mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles. The Gemara actually now is using the term chova, which is, it appears to be stronger than mitzvah. It requires that we light them and that we be around for them, and we're going to talk more about what that means. It's a function of honor of Shabbos, it's a function of enjoyment of Shabbos, it's a function of peace in the house. It accomplishes all of those, and people light different numbers of candles. Yes, Bob?
Should we be calling it a mitzvah? Is it mitzvahs come from God? Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt do that, da, 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 da. We do this because God said so. This is not from God, this is from us. We created this idea.
So what you're asking is actually a discussion found in the Gemara itself. That same Gemara, they ask the following question. When you light Hanukkah candles, your first bracha is Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu, that God sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to light Hanukkah candles. But that's a derabanan. So the Gemara's answer is, because the Torah says that you have to follow the words of the sages. That's an explicit pasuk. You have to follow the words of the sages, do not stray right or left. So therefore, God did command us. He commanded us to do whatever the Rabbanan tell us. That's one answer to your question as well. Why not? It's a mitzvah de Rabbanan. But that's one answer. For which, just to address the subtext of your question, there actually is a rule. The rule is that which the rabbis enacted was supposed to be modeled on the biblical. Kod ha'tikun rabbanon kein do reis ha'tikun. Whatever the rabbis enacted is supposed to be modeled on the biblical. However, there are certain changes that we make in order to make sure people don't get confused about what is biblical and what is rabbinic. So there are certain rules. This may be, for example, why we say that if you're in doubt about a rabbinic law, then you rule leniently. If you have a doubt about a biblical law, then you rule strictly. There's a lot more to be said about that. The other answer, though, to your question, besides saying, hey, rabbinic laws are laws also, is to say that this may be a rabbinic implementation of a biblical law. The biblical law is you have to honor Shabbos. How do I do that? The rabbis are saying, have a candle in your house as an example of how you fulfill this biblical law. There's more to say, but I think that'll cover us for now. The next piece that I wanted to make sure to address as part of the discussion, there were still introductory notes here, is the emphasis on having women light. And here we get to the Mishnah that was already quoted that says that there are three things, three areas of halacha for which if a woman is not careful, then when she is in danger during the time of childbirth, she may end up getting punished for that. And it's nida, Chala and Hadlakas Haner, lighting the Shabbos candles. Why should it be for women? On the face of it, It's, you know, a mitzvah for everybody. Everybody needs Kavod Shabbos. Everybody needs Oneg Shabbos. Everybody needs Shalom Bayis. Why should it be so? And in fact, we say lahalacha that if a man says, I want to light Shabbos candles this week, his wife is within her rights to say, sorry, my mitzvah, you don't get to do that. So why? There's nothing about candles that says this must be something that women do. So two answers. One answer is this very odd medrash that says Adam HaRishon was the light of the world. Like the pasuk says, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The flame of God is the neshama of Adam, which on the literal level means the neshama of a person. But Adam, with a capital Aleph, is Adam HaRishon. So that is a reference to him. And Chava made Adam stumble in eating from the tree of knowledge. She extinguished the flame of the world, so now she should light candles to return light to the world. That's an idea found in a Medrash. The Rambam is much more hard-nosed, unsurprisingly. If you take a look at Source Dalid, the Rambam writes, "Hamadlik tzarech lahadlik miba odiyom kodem shkiyas hachama." He says, you make sure to light candles before sunset. That's a good point. V'nashim mitzuvos al davar zeh yosim en ha'anashim. Women are commanded in this mitzvah more than men are. Lefi shehen mitzios bebatim behen asukos b'malachas habayis. Because, he says, women tend to be the ones who are around the house and they're more involved in the work of the household, and therefore they'll take care of this mitzvah. And then he goes on to point out the Mishnah talks about how before the man leaves the house, he's supposed to make sure things are taken care of, and that includes making sure that the candles were lit. But I will 100% acknowledge that this is not true 100% of the time. That the women are the ones who are found around the house, and that the men are earning a living or being manly in other ways. Nonetheless, in terms of the history of relations between men and women and households, historically, because women were the ones who were pregnant with the child, and women were the ones who were taking care of the kid at an age when the man, couldn't provide for the child's needs, realistically, that's the way it's going to evolve, that the household ends up, by force, end up being a situation in which the women are going to be around the house and the man would not. I would also note that this is not a patur for men to say, well, the Rambam said the women are the ones who are taking care of all the preparations for Shabbos, therefore I don't get involved. The Gemara itself says that's not true. The Gemara in Shabbos lists things that the Amoraim did to prepare for Shabbos. So this one would take care of preparing the fish, and this one would sweep, and this one would clean out the cobwebs, or whatever it is. The man absolutely has a chiyuv of kavod Shabbos. The man has a chiyuv to help prepare things for Shabbos. Happens to be that the woman ends up with this with the narrow Shabbos, with the Shabbos candles. Right. I mean, again, it's not really a derabbanan, though. It's a rabbinic application of a biblical concept. That's the way I would look at it.
As a side note, what were the other manly activities you were referring to?
I don't know. You were the one talking about the beer and the barbecue. Okay. So, where... That was before the recording started. So, where does one light? Where does one light Shabbos candles? So the priority space is, where's the priority space for lighting? The table, or more broadly, sorry?
Where you eat.
Where you eat, right, the dining room. It's very nice for it to be on the table. It doesn't always work out practically. People have little kids, and lighting candles on the table isn't necessarily the brightest idea. But the priority is the space where you are eating. Why? So Rashi says on the Gemara in Shabbos, I brought it for you in source. Hey, when the Gemara in Shabbos says that lighting Shabbos candles is chova, so Rashi says, kavod Shabbos, who? He says it's for the honor of Shabbos. She'ein se'uda chashuva ela b'makom or, because an important meal is going to be specifically in a place where there is light, ke'ein yamama, like daytime, quoting Yuma Ayin Hey Amud Beis. So Rashi says it's about honoring Shabbos at the meal. There is a second idea that gets brought from the Mordechai. If you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch first, and then you'll see the source after that. The Shulchan Aruch is in source above. Yesh omrim she'ein mikadshin ela la'or haner. Before that, let me just highlight something from the heading in source above. This is from the Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Hilcha Shabbos, Simen Reish Ayin Gimel. Reish Ayin Gimel is not the laws of Shabbos candles. The laws of Shabbos candles are Reish Samach Gimel. Reish Ayin Gimel is part of the laws of Kiddush. So what we're about to read is not a law in Shabbos candles. It's about how you make Kiddush. Now we can read it. Yesh Omrim, some say, She'in Mekanshim Ela La'or Haner. Some say you only make Kiddush by candlelight. You're not supposed to make Kiddush in the dark. V'yesh omrim, and some say, she'ena Kiddush toloi b'ner. Doesn't depend on the candle at all. V'im hu nehene b'chatzer yoser, and if he's happier when he's in the yard, m'pnei ha'avir, maybe because there's better air there, or m'pnei ha'zvuvim, or because there are no flies there, m'kaddish b'chatzer, so let him make Kiddush in the yard. V'ochal sham, and eat there, aval pi she'ena roa haner, even if he doesn't see the candle. Because the candles are there for enjoyment. They're not there in order to cause pain. Now I have to eat by the candles, and so I'm going to go into the room that I don't enjoy. And the Shulchan Aruch says that makes sense. So he brings the view that says Kiddush should be by candlelight, but he doesn't accept it as binding. He says there may be other reasons to light somewhere else. So where does this idea come from? So it's a Gemara in Psachim, in source Zion. Amar Abaye, ki havinan beimar. Abaye says, when I was in the yeshiva of the master, which probably means Rabbah, ki hava mekadesh, when he would say Kiddush, Amar Lan, he would say to us, ti'imu midi, maybe it was Rabbi Yosef, it could have been Rabbi Yosef. He said, ti'imu midi, eat a little bit. Dilma ade azlisu ushpiza misakra lechu shraga, v'lo mekadesh lechu bebeis achila, because you know what might happen? Otherwise, by the time you get back to the place where you're staying, right, they would live somewhere while they were learning in yeshiva. So you're going to get back home. The candle is going to go out by then. And then they won't make Kiddush for you in the place where they eat normally. Ubikidusha dahacha lo nafkisu. And here you won't have been yotze with Kiddush either if you don't eat. Dein Kiddush el makom seuda, because Kiddush has to be with a meal. By definition, Kiddush has to be with a meal. So Abaye is recounting that when he was in yeshiva, he was told that make sure you eat with the Kiddush you're hearing in yeshiva, because otherwise if you go home, they're not going to have light anymore, and they won't make Kiddush for you. So on that Gemara, the Mordechai said, in source Ches, Adaz lisu lebesaychu esakra lechushraga b'gidusha dahachal nafkisu pirish, ki tzarech ner lekiddush. Because you need a flame for Kiddush. The problem isn't they won't give you food. They'll give you food. You can eat without light. But Kiddush needs light. So brings the Mordechai based on this. Right. But the statement that he was making was not they won't make Kiddush. The statement they were making was not there won't be a meal. It's you won't get Kiddush. They won't start that way. And the Mordechai is trying to tell me it's not just they won't make Kiddush and therefore you won't be able to eat. He's saying they won't make Kiddush because there's no light. Kiddush itself requires light. So so that's the origin of people saying that Kiddush should be in the dining room. One of two things. Either, like Rashi, Kiddush should be in the dining room because it's supposed to provide ambiance for the meal. Or, alternatively, Kiddush should be in the dining room because you're supposed to make Kiddush by candlelight. Nonetheless, whichever reason you give, the Aruch HaShulchan says, lav davka, your lighting does not have to be in the dining room. And he points to a Rashi that demonstrates that. Rashi in source Tes. On that Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Hei Amud Beis about lighting Shabbos candles, he says, halakas ner b'Shabbos, shalohaya lo mimad lahadlik. You didn't have what to light. You didn't have, if a person doesn't have something to light. Umakum she'einer ein shalom. Where there is no candle, there is no shalom. Shaholech v'nechshav, v'holech ba'afela, because you end up stumbling around in the dark. So Rashi brings the point that you want light in order to get around the house. Rashi there did not specify you want light for where you're going to eat. It's that you want light in the house, that you're able to get by. So therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that proves you're able to light in other spaces. Because the light is considered beneficial and it serves its purpose even if it's not in the dining room. I may prefer the dining room, but it's certainly not the only place to light. This is going to matter, right? We still have to translate all of this to the healthcare settings. But this is going to matter when the patient doesn't necessarily have the ability, or the healthcare professional is really what we're talking about right now, is not necessarily going to be able to light in the space where they eat, but may be able to set something up somewhere else. Bob? So the Hanukkah candles, you are correct about. You're not supposed to use it for anything else. The Shabbos light, you are supposed to use. You're supposed to enjoy the light. What you may be thinking of is you're not supposed to read by it. Because there's a concern that you're going to adjust it. If you read by it, you know, it's not providing good light, then you're going to tilt it, especially when they used oil lamps. So that's true. You're not supposed to use it for fine analysis of something and reading, but you are supposed to benefit from the light overall. We do want that. Yeah. It's the Hanukkah ones that you're not supposed to use. Why is a good question. Okay. Last bit of introduction. I said it's a good question. The last bit of introduction, and then we can apply all of this to the cases of the healthcare professional. What if multiple people need to light? So you have a bunch of families who are all eating Shabbos dinner together, and let's say they know that they're going to be out so long that by the time they get home, if they were to light at home, the light's going to be out. And they're not going to stick around to use the light before going to shul Friday night, so they don't have that as they're out, although that does work. But for whatever reason, it's not going to work. Or maybe they are worried about lighting at home. They have a dog or something like that, and they're afraid of what's going to happen to the Shabbos candles. So let's say they all want to light in the place where they are eating. So how do you handle that? I mean, I'm sure you've all seen what I've seen. They'll have a bar mitzvah dinner, and they'll put out a tray, and there are 50 tea lights sitting on the tray, and everybody's just lighting one next to the next to the next. I mean, what's your light providing? Aside from the fact that that light is not getting over to your Shabbos table. You're not lighting where you're eating. But like, what kind of a game is that? What did I increase for Shabbos by lighting on that tray? What am I supposed to do? So the Maharil addressed this question in a tshuva, in Source Yud. He was asked the question of lighting in shul, even if somebody is not eating there. Right? I remember the first time that I was in a shul where people came to shul for Yom Kippur and lit candles in the shul kitchen right before Yom Kippur started. So no one, I hope, is eating in that kitchen over Yom Kippur. No one is even going into that kitchen over Yom Kippur. So what was that about? Why were they doing that? Where did that come from?
Good intent.
Definitely good intent. Why? What was the intent?
They thought they couldn't light at home.
Yeah. They wanted to drive to shul. They didn't know from making a condition of I'm not accepting Shabbos or Yom Kippur or whatever it is. So they said, all right, so we'll light in shul. That's where it came from. But it's difficult to justify, especially if it's not in a room that anybody is going to go into and see and use, you know, in any way, shape, or form. So the Maharil discusses this issue of lighting in shul, not for Yom Kippur, but lighting in shul Friday night, when you're not going to eat there, or when a whole bunch of people are lighting there at the same time. So take a look at what he says in Source Yud. Tshuva. Al hanashim hamadlikin beveis haknesses umavarachin. Regarding women who light in shul and they make a bracha, im hayu madlikim neros shelahem olokhos neros l'shem kach. If they're lighting their candles, or they go get candles dafka for that purpose, umosifin osam al neros beveis haknesses shebalav hachi shama. And they add to the candles that are already found in shul. There is already, you know, light in shul. He says, I think you could make the following argument maybe to resolve this and justify the minhag. That which the women are adding, you know, those candles that they add in shul, increase shalom bias. What does that mean? Granted that, even without their lighting, there's plenty of light there in shul. Midi dehava beis v'gimel bali batim ochlim makom echad. He said it's just like when you have two or three families eating in the same place. Kol echad mevarech al menorah shelo. Each one makes the bracha on their own candelabra. Ava bishiyish kar or meruba. Even though there's a lot of light, so he has solved the problem by mentioning another problem, as though the other problem isn't the problem at all. He says, I think I can justify lighting candles in shul when there's already light, because when people have three families that get together for Friday night dinner, they all light in the same room, as though that wasn't in and of itself problematic. So, just wait, Bob. He says, he says I'm going to explain that too. Afa gavshah or zarua gim game bazek. Granted, the or zarua was not comfortable with this. He felt that was actually a problem too. Mikomakom yesh min haginon hachi. Nonetheless, or menahagin on hachi, he says, nonetheless, there are people who do it. Uba aniyas daiti nira lili yashev. And he says, in my humble opinion, I think you can justify it as follows. Dechoma demitosaf ora yesh be shalom bayis tfei, usimcha yisera lahanas ora bechol zavios vizavios. He says, I think that as you add light, there is more shalom bayis, and there is greater joy with the pleasure from this light in all of the different corners of the room. The more candles you have, the better people feel. And he says, you know what that's like? People who light candles in shul on Yom Tov. What he's referring to is not now like your Yom Tov table thing. What he's talking about is this. There was a practice, you know with the origin of a yahrzeit candle? Okay. Yahrzeit candles, as I understand it, and I could be entirely wrong, but I picked this up years ago and I think it's correct. The origin of the yahrzeit candle is that for a yahrzeit, people would dedicate the lights in shul. Meaning, they would pledge they are giving the light for the shul. They would provide oil, and now all the oil lamps were being supported in the merit of the yahrzeit. What he is saying, though, is that's actually problematic on Yom Tov because, bless you, we only are allowed to light a flame that we need from an existing flame. If somebody already lit lamps, and now I come along and say, I want to add to it, it's not necessary. Why am I doing that? I shouldn't be allowed to light, even though I'm doing it from an existing flame. It's an unnecessary flame. This comes up incidentally. Someone asked me on the Pesach chat. Some of you are on that. Someone asked me on the Pesach chat whether it's better to light the yahrzeit candle for Yizkor, which is day 8. Whether it's better to light a 2-day candle before day 7 instead of lighting it the night leading into day 8. And I told them that's Rav Schechter's position. Is that it should really be lit in advance because it's a light that nobody uses. It's not a functional light. So so he says, though, the Maharil says, I hear you, and you're wrong. He says, it's not true. You can light candles in shul on Yom Tov for people to use the light. Avagav deshraga betira mayahanya, even though he borrows from Psachim B'digas Chametz, he says, what good is a light, is a flame, when there's a lot of light around? He says, you light a flame in the middle of the day, what did you accomplish? He says, the Maharam said, this is not considered to be a useless candle. The more candles you light, the more it is considered to be the need of the day and the mitzvah of the day. Hachinami, here too. Koma de mosif ora, the more light you add, chashiv hana'at fei, it is considered to be adding enjoyment. So v'chem beis haknesses, you have a mosif and have a or tfei v'asi l'ha'ir, and he says the same thing is true with the candles in shul. So as far as he is concerned, you could have multiple families light candles together. You could have them light in shul. It's justified because the more light, the more enjoyment. That's the position of the Maharil. Sorry. More kavod was what he said initially, and then at the end, he talks about hana'at tfei, more enjoyment. Yes, Bob?
Four words. Yes, dear, shalom bayit.
Maybe.
Did it make you happy?
Maybe. So maybe that's part of what he's saying. So the Maharil's position is that you can have multiple families light in the same room, and it's fine. And there's more enjoyment the more candles you see. The Shulchan Aruch brings the competing views. If you look in Source Yud Aleph, yeah. I don't remember that in the Mishnah. Yeah, I don't know. But if you find it, let me know.
Now the Maharal is Nachon or Rishon?
Rishon. Yeah, yeah. Solid Rishon. Very important Ashkenazi. Sorry. So if you take a look at Source Yud Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch writes, it's fair, we get one. He says, Bezo Gimel Bali Batem Ochlim Makom Echad. He says, when you have two or three heads of household who are eating in the same place, some say each one makes a bracha on theirs, that's the Maharil. And then there are others who do not like this idea, and that's the Or Zeruah. Well named. And the Shulchan Aruch says, you know what, Safik brachos, maybe better to worry about what the Or Zeruah says. And therefore, only one should make a bracha on it. And the Rama says, "Aval anu noagim king." Yeah, that's not what we do. That's nice, but we have everybody make the bracha. That's the position of the Rama, based on the Maharil. Of course, the other option is let them each light in different rooms, and then you have no problem. It's justified in each room, and then they can each make the bracha. Clear? Good. Okay, so everything we've done for the last 40 minutes, 36 minutes and change, has been in order to get to what happens in the hospital setting. So first we're going to talk about where one should light. So if you take a look on your Nishmas Avram sheets at Resh Samach Gimel Beis, he's commenting on the line in the Shulchan Aruch which says that men and women have to have in their homes a lit candle on Shabbos. So he says in Beis, Bebatehem, Rofei o achot, doctor or nurse, hashohim bebeis acholim b'leil Shabbos, who are stuck in the hospital Friday night, ve'ein mi shemalik nero Shabbos avuram beveisam, if they don't have somebody lighting for them at home, so they need to light Shabbos candles there with a bracha because of the honor of Shabbos. Now, that business of somebody lighting for them at home is something I want to come back to. Because what good does it do for someone to light for you at home? You need light where you are. The assumption is, what he's saying is, that they light at home with a bracha, and you make sure there is light wherever you are without a bracha. It's one bracha per household, is what it sounds like he's saying as of now. The imadlikim avurum bebeisam, if they're lighting for them in their home, yotzim yidei chavasam midin kavod Shabbos, then their obligation is fulfilled in terms of honor of Shabbos. Oh, he's saying it, I forgot. The ilu mitzadin oneg Shabbos, yesh lam lidog, shiya or b'chol makom sheshohim sham, umuter gam levarech al zeh. He does say it. He says, when it comes to Oneg Shabbos, so yes, you should also make sure there's light where you are, and you are also allowed to make a bracha on it. The language of allowed is kind of funny. Like, either you're supposed to make a bracha, or you're not supposed to make a bracha. He's saying you're allowed. It's a little bit odd. I didn't look into that. I really should. But that's the way that he frames it. Ulam. Haneros tzvichim liyos aruchim b'mida kazel she'efshar yiyah lehanos le'oram b'vo'om l'chadram achrei knisas le'el ha'Shabbos. He does say you have to make sure your candle that you light is long enough that you're going to actually get a chance to use it. Meaning, imagine you have somebody who's on call, right, and they lit in wherever their break room is,
right,
but they're going to spend the next 3 hours, you know, in the unit, and they're not going to get there. By the time they get back, the light's gone. So he says, you should make sure that it's actually going to last long enough that you're able to make use of it. That's the idea. Where do you light? So he says, Rofim halakat neirot shabbat bebeit acholim. Rasha'im rof'a o rofei lahadlik bebracha b'chadar ha'ochel b'makom sheyehnu me'or aner. He says, the doctor is able to light with a bracha in the dining room, the place where they will benefit from the light of the candle. Ulidas maran ha-shulchan aruch, rak echad yivarech, right? According to the Mechaber, only one of them should make the bracha. We saw that. V'rofa kodemes lerofei, and he says the woman has priority over the male, as we've already discussed. Ulam hachiyuv lahadlik neros mutal akol echad v'yachad. But you should know, each doctor really does have a unique obligation to light. Ulafichach tzarech shiyishtatev b'dmei haneros im ze'a madlik b'chadar ha'ochal. So really, all of them should chip in for the cost of the candles. The problem is that candles today don't cost what they used to cost. I mean, what does that mean? You can buy 72 candles for $5 or $6, whatever it is. We're going to chip in a nickel, and for this particular candle, like, what are you going to do? So you get the fancy Neronim and whatever it is, and then you'll end up paying more. I suppose that's one solution to the problem. But he says, "Sarshi yishtatev va'az gam yadlik b'chadro sheyashin sham b'li bracha," and then also light in your room where you're going to sleep, just no bracha. "V'im lo yishtatev," but if you didn't join in with the others, then yadlik b'chadro b'bracha, then just light in your room and make a bracha there in your room, and that solves the problem as well. And in the footnote, he says that's what he heard from Rav Neuwirth, the Shmir Shabbos Kehil Chassam. Let's say the hospital wants to make sure there are Shabbos candles lit in the dining room. It's a Jewish hospital or it's a non-Jewish hospital, but they realize that Shabbos candles are a thing, and they decided that they want to attract Jews, and so they're going to make sure there are Shabbos candles. It's actually not such a bad idea. Talk to the chaplains maybe and suggest. I'll talk to Ellen Cohn and see. Yeah, it's a nice thing. So if they decide that they want to do that, peturim ha'ochlim sham b'lahadlik. Well, then there's no reason for you to light in the dining room because it's already covered. V'im einef sharus lahadlik b'makom ha'achila. And if there's no possibility of lighting in the dining room and no light is in fact being lit there, yesh lahadlik b'bracha b'makom ha'sheina ol makom achir sheshav hasham. Then for sure, light in your room with a bracha. Finally, he says the same thing he said before, but making sure that the wicks are long enough that you're actually going to have a chance to make use of it before it goes out.
Is there a hectic? Because I remember I was letting go. We had a roll. I had my own apartment. That was mine when I started my internship until I finished my internship. I had my own room. I didn't recall ever lighting candles in the room. Mm-hmm. I depend on my wife lit the candles.
So your wife lit at home.
Is that a hectic? Or so, I have to do penance now to what I did.
No, you have to repeat your residency.
So I'll tell you, based on what he said here, if your wife lit at home and you made sure that there was sufficient light to be able to manage in your room, you're fine. Because he said you don't need to make a bracha when you arrange your light for Oneg. We're going to talk about electric lights shortly. Yeah, we're going
to
talk about that.
So when you're in a room and there are other symbols of other religious...
That's a whole other issue.
How do you light the candle?
Right.
You start looking at it,
so that's a whole other issue. We can talk about it, but I want to make sure we get through this first because we got 13 minutes to go, and I am not waiting 3 weeks to finish this topic. Mm-hmm. So that's in terms of where to light. Dining room is the first stop. However, if you can't light in the dining room, you light in whatever room you're making use of. And if there is lighting in the dining room with a bracha, then you don't need to make a bracha in your separate space. If you have a spouse who's lighting at home, you don't need to make a bracha in a separate space either. What about the business of electric lights? So we covered a lot of this in my shiur on LEDs that we did in shul, but not everybody was there. Certainly those online, I think, except for one, were not there. So we'll see what he does with it. If you take a look in the Nishmas Avram at Os Gimel, okay, so Reish Samach Gimel Ner Daluk. So he says Hadlakat Nerot Chashmal, lighting electric lamps. Imi Efshar Lahadlik Nerot Shava B'Cheder B'Beit HaCholim. If it's not possible to light wax candles in a room in the hospital, Kigo and Sheish Isser Mitam Halas Beis HaCholim Mishum Chashash Sreifa, such as if the administration prohibits it because they're afraid of fire, or just, you know, you were in a rush and you didn't get a chance to bring wax candles. Says machlokes as to whether it's possible to use electric candles with a bracha or not, and he's going to bring four views. First view: L'daz habeis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkes. Yechola ha'isha levarich v'latzeis yirechovas hamitzvah ki hu davar sheyesh bo mamash v'chein matir machze Avram hartzvi az nidbaru. He says a woman could use electric lights and your yotze. Simple, straightforward. It provides light. And he quotes you a number of poskim who are okay with that.
What does it mean, davar sheyesh bo mamash?
It is meaning you are providing providing light. It's a funny phrase to use because light ain't bo mamash. But what he means is, at the end of the day, Nero Shabbos means make sure there's illumination. There is illumination, and how you got the illumination doesn't matter. That's the point of this perspective. That's the idea. He then has a very interesting side note that I want to come back to if there's time. But let's first make sure we get through the main things. He has a fascinating side discussion in the rest of this paragraph. But jumping to the beginning of the next paragraph. Ulam ledas ha-mishpate Uziel, Rav Ben Zion Uziel, eina yotze sidei chova. He says she does not fulfill the obligation with that. Remember, Rav Uziel is Friday chief rabbi in the 1940s, 1950s, the early days of the state. He says, your power could go out. And then it's a bracha levatala. You can't rely on the fact that most of the time it doesn't get cut off. And he refers you to a tshuva of the Rashba. He does something very funny. He says, look, the Rashba discusses which mitzvos get brachos and which ones don't get brachos. It's a well-known tshuva where he goes through a bunch of different rules for which mitzvos get brachos. And one of the things he says is if a mitzvah requires the cooperation of somebody else in order for you to get the mitzvah, then you don't make a bracha because maybe they won't cooperate. So one example of that is tzedakah. What if you try to give something to a needy person and he's not interested? You try to give him a dollar and he says, "Ha, who are you kidding?" So now you made your bracha and you're stuck. You're going, like, I'm not taking it. So he says the same thing is true here. You want to light your Shabbos candles, but the power goes out. Now you weren't yotze. So therefore, he says, no bracha. That's the position of the Mishpatei Uziel. I'm going to come back to Rav Avadya, who thinks that's a very funny thing.
It's not funny because now that we don't have a problem with it going out, I mean,
no, but yeah,
it's no longer a robe issue. This is
yeah, but once you see Rav Avadya's point, you realize it's not.
Fire
does go out. It's true. The candles may go out also.
Saying like if the candles go out because of the power.
Right. I want to make sure to just see the main points, and then we can come back to it. Valabushe Mordechai Oser. Labushe Mordechai, I think it's Mordechai Bennett, I think. Not sure of that. Could be Mordechai Winkler. In any case, he prohibits. Kamen She'ein Kan Shamnunis. Velo Zechel Hashem and Klal. There's no oil. Lo Shum Remez. There isn't even a hint of any oil here. Vitzarach She'yeh Shamnunis. Shagorim She'yeh Dalek. He says there has to be oil that you are lighting. He says the original takana of Nero Shabbos involved oil lamps and wax, sort of like an oil lamp, but this is nothing like it at all. V'umamshach, he says, the Labushe Mordechai continues to say, V'chisalka daitach she'amadlik eitzim dakin v'kismin she'yotze b'yidei chovas near Shabbos. He says, imagine if you lit little splinters of wood. You think you're yotze if you lit matches? You think you call that Shabbos candles? To which I would say, I don't know.
What if you light a log?
Why not? Yeah. He says, no. V'hachanami, orach hashmal she'en bo shamnunit. He says, so too, the electric light, it doesn't involve any oil at all. V'ayin Shabbos chafam edbeis shucha da'arza eitz b'yamu. Upirish Rashi, upshita delo chazi lepsila el lemedura. The Gemara there in Shabbos that he quotes, Shabbos chafam edbeis, talks about a piece of wood, and Rashi there comments and says, Pshita de lochazi lipsila el medura. Obviously, this piece of wood would not be usable as a wick. It wouldn't work as a wick, which is true. Try, you know, sticking a piece of wood in oil and lighting the piece of wood and see how far you get. If it's talking about lighting wood, it means a bonfire. V'achanami kayotze bazei. He says, that's what this is like. Ve'eno yotze de chovas halakha. He says, you're not yotze with this. Ulam, however, Ma'adur Shnas Tafresh Tzadi Zayin, in another edition of this that came out in the year 1937, he's not so sure. And he quotes you that Gemara in Bamei Madlikin about the Shulcha Da'arza, the piece of cedar wood. Upirish Rashi Lo Chazi La'ur. He says maybe the reason why they reject the cedar wood is because this piece of cedar wood that you're talking about really won't provide light. But in the event that you have something that isn't oil based but does provide light, like your electric lamp, it'll be fine. So he's not so sure that that's a disqualification, but that's a third view, is this isn't like the original takana. I didn't spend a lot of time on that because I didn't think it was so germane for us. It's not a view we generally hold from. But then he brings you Rav Avadya. V'kosev harishon letzion hagon Rav Avadya Yosef. Ein lanu tam maspik lomar she'ein yotzim yidei chov abad lakas nerach hashma l'chavot Shabbos. He says, we don't have any reason that really suffices to say that you're not yotze with electric lights. But you know, it's good to try to satisfy those who are strict in this, if possible. To light an oil lamp as well. Make a bracha on it. And that way it'll be obvious that you lit this electric one for the honor of Shabbos. Ube'eretz HaKodesh, asher avodas ha-chashmal nasis ba'avonoseinu ha-rabim al-yidei Yisrael, ein levarach hazeh lahadlik ner shel Shabbos. He says, if the power is being generated by Jews on Shabbos, that's a separate problem, and you can't make a bracha on that. You're making a bracha on Jews doing malacha on Shabbos. There was a lot of discussion about this in the early days of the state because of the question of whether the Shabbos candles are using light, are using power that's generated on Shabbos. Usually that power was generated beforehand. That power was pre-generated and stored. It's not being generated on Shabbos. Sorry?
Might be released by different voltages.
Right.
That they turn on the voltage. Oh, we need more voltage now. So the man standing at the main voltage center may release what's...
That I don't know. But they did discuss it at the time. He says, Ravadja rejected this proof from the Rashba that the Mishpatei Uziel brought, the idea of we don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that depends on somebody else. He says, it's not true. Why? I'm going to say it outside because I see we're getting to the end of our time. He says, that is when they decided whether to institute a bracha for a kind of mitzvah. You say, tzedakah depends on somebody else, therefore we're not going to institute a bracha for tzedakah. But there is a bracha instituted for candle lighting.
Right.
Even if my specific candle lighting right now depends on somebody else, that doesn't change the existence of a bracha for this mitzvah on the whole. And therefore I would still make a bracha. And in fact, the Yalkut Yosef, the son of Rav Avadya, quotes his father as saying, if you don't have an option of an oil or wax candle, you may make a bracha on the electric one. What you sometimes see is a preference for using a flame that a light bulb that has an actual filament, you know, to satisfy that, and you should be able to see the filament. I wanted to come back to this piece in the Nishmas Avram, but first I wanted to just make sure to deal with the last medical question that comes up, which is, what about somebody who misses lighting? They're taking care of patients and they didn't get a chance to light. So I'm going to say it outside, but it's on the sheet. The Maharil records the practice of adding a candle. Apparently his niece missed lighting some week and she asked him what to do. And he said, so in the future, add a candle every, and from now on, in the future, going forward, you should always light an extra candle. The Bach says the reason for that is, and this is all on your sheet. The Bach is in Source Yudalid. He says it's to make sure you'll be careful next time.
Scary thing.
So that means if you forget a second time, now you're adding two candles going forward, and then three candles going forward, in order to make sure that you don't mess up. So here I come back to the point. Wait a minute though. I stressed that people light according to significant numbers, like two for Zachar and Shamor, or per numbers of people in the house, or seven, or whatever it is. You're messing that up by lighting extra candles. Nonetheless, the Bach says that's not a problem, because you know this is an added one. As long as you know this isn't part of the core number, you're okay. You didn't mess up your core number. But the Magen Avraham says on this, and I brought it in source Tesvav, since the reason is to make sure you won't be careless in the future, if it was ones, if it was something you couldn't do anything about, you're taking care of patients, this is what you're halachically supposed to do, then you don't make you don't have to add in the future. It's sort of like what we talked about with a person who misses Shmona Esrei, but they were involved in taking care of patients the entire window for davening. So you don't make another Shmona Esrei. You weren't chayiv in the first place. That's the idea. Other interesting note, the Bi'ur Halacha quotes the Prima Gadim, who says, what if you lit less than the regular amount of oil, or a mini candle, or something like that? Would you now need to light more in the future? And the Bi'ur Halacha says, the Prima Gadim says yes, but the Bi'ur Halacha disagrees. He says, the whole thing is a minhag, and we shouldn't add. It's bad enough we already have this idea of adding an extra candle. So the Nishmas Avram says, if somebody misses due to a medical situation, there's no need to do an extra candle going forward. I thought I would add a piece that's here about patients. There's no time, but you might want to take a look at it at some point. It discusses the question of, on the patient side of things, what if a woman, right before Shabbos, finds out she's going to need to go to the hospital on Shabbos as a patient? So now, is there a requirement that she light? Is it that the husband light? It's a fascinating additional discussion. Maybe we'll do it in, you know, again, I said in the beginning, we don't have a shir next until the 27th because of Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzmaut, and because of the RCA convention. But maybe we will do that as the beginning next time. The other piece was very interesting from the Har Tzvi about what if you have a cover over the candle and you just, like they have like the Shabbos lamps, right? And then you swivel the cover. Does that count as lighting? Well, it's a very interesting suggestion to solve a certain halachic problem. It was already on, but it wasn't providing light. In general, Rosh Shlomo Zalman is not a fan of that idea. But it's a whole discussion that's very interesting in its own right, because it could have solved certain halachic problems. Like, what if a person isn't home to light before plug, after plug? So you light before plug, but and then just swivel the lamp on Shabbos. But we don't support that anyway. Okay, so God willing, on the 27th. Yeah.